Again, we will have plenty of time for Q&A at the end of the session. My name is Ted Ritter. I'm based in the Western United States. Happy to be supporting Cohesive. Been working with IBM Maximo for almost 20 years. Very happy to have Lacey Radabaugh, who's with IBM, and will be covering a good portion of the presentation, as well as Mike Beasley, who's Vice President of Utilities for Cohesive. Mike, you want to go ahead and do a little intro on Cohesive?
Absolutely, Ted. Thank you for the introduction, and thank you for the folks that are attending this webinar. Just a little bit of background on Cohesive, if you're unfamiliar with our firm. We're the largest Maximo integrator in North America. We have the largest practice. Our primary focus is around energy and utilities. And get that slide to advance. There we go. Our firm is primarily energy and utilities, as I noted a moment ago. And what we have done this summer is, you may have seen when you signed up or registered for this particular webinar, it's a program that we're calling Replace the Old with the New. This webinar series that we started back in May is a series of six webinars primarily focused on the utility distribution, the electric distribution market segment. We've had many attendees, though, that are, may be in generation or some other area of the utility, because they want to pick up on tidbits of other areas or things they can do with Maximo. A quick recap of some of the topics that we've covered, if you haven't had the benefit of registering before. Back in May, we had one of our consultants, Richard Pike, give an overview of a T&D implementation project that we're currently working on, is replacement of a legacy storms, an old storms or Dodgem system that is underway with the utility in the Midwest. It remains nameless only because of a non-disclosure that we have in place with them, so we have to respect that. But he gave a general overview, and then a follow-up in June. Richard spoke about the power of Maximo and the ability to develop configurations within Maximo that are not custom. And in this particular case, it was a powerful use case around storm damage assessment with Maximo. And so that was covered then. And then in July, a good friend of mine over at IBM, and some of you may know him, Terry Saunders, Terry talked about the power of Maximo around asset health and used examples of how you can take the abilities to configure Maximo and dedicate it to overall asset health. Of course, today we've got Stacy, one of the sales engineers that we work closely with here at Cohesive. She's going to talk about the integrated solution of scheduler and spatial. Then I've asked, it'll be later in September. This particular event was, we'd planned it for August so that our calendars would sync up with a webinar every month. So we missed it by a day. But nonetheless, we're going to have another one later in September around compatible units. I'm going to ask Richard Pike to do that. Be on the lookout for that registration. You'll see it start coming out in about a couple of weeks, maybe a week and a half. And then later in October will be the last of the series, and that will be a dedicated webinar around Maximo Spatial and some of the things that we've done to enhance the capabilities of Spatial as well as accelerate the implementation of Spatial. So, again, be on the lookout for those. One thing I didn't note is that we are going to post these earlier webinars on our website on thecohesivesolutions.com. So we'll send out a note to everyone with a link to the website as a reminder if you have an interest to go back and see some of the prior webinars. So with that, I think I'll transition it over to Lacey. But, Ted, I think we have a poll that we'll take first. Is that correct?
That is absolutely correct. Great intro, Mike. Thank you. If everybody could take just a few seconds and let us know what EAM system you're currently using today, we'd sure appreciate having that feedback before we get going. I'm seeing some pretty good data coming in. Give it just another moment or two. That's kind of interesting. We've got about 50% Maximo and 50% other. I think I'm going to be interested to see what that 50% other looks like a little later on. Thanks for your feedback, and I think I'll pass it on to Lacey. Looking forward to your agenda and presentation.
Hey, thanks, Ted. And yeah, so here's the agenda of what we'll be covering today. We've already done the introduction. I will just spend a few moments to give you a high-level overview about what Maximo Spatial is and then what Maximo Asset Management Scheduler is. As Mike mentioned, there will be additional webinars in the future for more in-depth details about Spatial. And if you're attending the Maximo for Utility Working Group in a few weeks in Atlanta, you're always welcome to stop by the demo room for in-depth demos for either of these solutions or go to any of the sessions as well. After we look at an overview of both of the solutions, I'm going to take you through two end-to-end work management use cases. So that way you can see how the different roles within your organization can find value using Maximo Spatial and Maximo Scheduler throughout the work management lifecycle. So let's go ahead and advance here. Well, what is Maximo Spatial Asset Management? Well, it's our GIS solution that allows users to view the GIS data within a dynamic map right inside of Maximo. It gives some geospatial context to assets, locations, work orders, service requests, and service addresses. And for the folks who are current Maximo users today, it actually provides a map tab right within those applications. And this really allows users to not only visualize the positioning on the map, whether they're looking at assets or whether they're looking at work orders, but it also starts to do things like allow them to view nearby features, whether it's other open work orders within the area. Maybe on a certain street, customers have complained about issues with their meters and there's multiple work orders in that same street, and I could visualize that. Or it could be the other asset infrastructure in the area. You'll see in a future scenario here in the presentation that we're going to use the map and the assets application to do a query, and I want to understand everything in the area. I can do that all within the map tab. I can do things like identify trends using the different query tools. I can see other relevant information in my decision-making process by overlaying other map services. Maybe it's traffic data or maybe it's weather data. There's going to be a large storm coming in if I'm in a coastal area, perhaps a hurricane, like on the Gulf Coast of Florida right now, and I want to understand what that is going to affect on my infrastructure, and I want to create a work plan to be able to mitigate that. And by having the map integrated right within my asset management system, I'm able to take advantage of features like that. And I can also do some things like, configurations that allow me to do some trending in the map. Maybe there's been some lightning strike from a recent storm in the Texas area, and I have some transformers that aren't functioning, and I want the symbology of those transformers to change. That way, when I quickly look at the map, I can really easily see which transformers aren't functioning, and maybe I add an additional layer of analytics by having that symbology change as the age of the incident or the transformer not functioning gets older and older. So I'm able to do some things like that in the map. So really by having the map versus just the tabular data that I would typically have just in the list screen, I can do things like visualize, as we talked about. I can analyze, interpret data, and then I can see trends, patterns, relationships. So it really adds more value to your asset management system. It is a federated model, and it's built on the latest Esri ArcGIS server technology. And in our latest release, we are taking advantage of feature services as well. So what is Maximo Asset Management Scheduler? Well, some folks that are on the call, if you're current Maximo customers, may have seen the solution. It has grown over the years. We have a roadmap and continued functionality has been delivered. And it's not just a scheduling tool. I do want to really emphasize that. It's really an embedded end-to-end work management tool that can accommodate a lot of different roles in the work management lifecycle. And I want to emphasize embedded as well. It's not an integration. I don't need to push data out of Maximo into an external tool and synchronize it back and forth. From a user perspective, it's additional applications right within Maximo, as you'll see from future screenshots. To go over just a few of the roles that can gain value from Maximo Scheduler, from more of a long-term planning perspective, planners can go ahead and forecast preventive maintenance, and they can overlay that forecast on a Gantt view to do things like understand resource load and availability. Perhaps there's an outage coming up later in the year and they want to slide some of those PMs into the outage window. Or maybe just from a planning perspective, they want to know how much all of the PMs is going to cost them from a money perspective. Perhaps they forecast it over 2 years, but they also want to know from a resource availability perspective, do I even have enough resources to be able to perform all the preventive maintenance I have scheduled? Or do I need to start looking to optimize my preventive maintenance schedule, maybe do more meter-based versus time-based? And that's one of the things that the asset management scheduling tool can allow. For more of the midterm scheduling, schedulers can pull in a scope of work, and they can go ahead and look at, again, the resource load and availability. That includes a true availability. If some crews have said that they have some time off potentially next month for meetings or vacations or FMLA or whatever it is, we can take that into consideration. Then I can go ahead and I can adjust when that work's going to be done based on things like resource load and availability. You'll see date constraints. You'll see task dependencies. You'll see asset and location, operational and maintenance windows. So a lot of intelligent information in there to decide when to schedule the dates to do that work. From an assignment perspective, supervisors can manage all the work order assignments within this graphical assignment application, and it allows them to graphically drag and drop assignments and make them to labor and crews. And as you'll see later in the demonstration, there's a lot of additional features there as well. So once the work is assigned, dispatchers can graphically monitor that work on a map, and they can do things like see the work order status, see the nearby labor and crews, manage emergency work that comes in, manage unassigned work and assign it to the most nearby crews. And then from a field technician perspective, right, the work's been assigned, the dispatcher's monitoring it. There are EveryPlace templates. EveryPlace is our connected mobility solution. When you have Maximo 7.6, it's included with Maximo. From a scheduler perspective, we've pre-configured the EveryPlace template that field technicians can leverage to do things like indicate status of the work, view from a map their different work and driving directions, send real-time updates back, where are they based on the location of their device. That way the dispatcher can monitor where they are. And in addition to supporting these multiple roles throughout the work management process, there's also optimization models available for each of these roles that can really help gain significant efficiencies by saving time from the manual process of scheduling or assigning work. Within the more of the planner and the scheduler perspective, I can do things like optimize based on a capacity plan. Maybe I'm trying to do a project or an outage and I have an end date in mind, and I want to see how much work I can get done based on my available resources within that date window. And so I optimize that, and I could see where I need additional resources. Or maybe it's just more of a daily or weekly operational schedule, and I want to go ahead and resource low level, but I want to save 30% of my resources time for the emergency work that comes in. And I want to be able to see how that work spreads out and make adjustments and then go ahead and commit that to update the schedule date. From a assignment perspective, I could do a actual spatial optimization scenario. That way I can minimize drive time. I can specify my objectives, like maximizing the number of work orders that are completed, minimizing task interruptions. And I can have this optimized assignment displayed to me, and then I could just make tweaks and submit it. So you can see how through the optimization, a lot of time could be saved. Again, that's all within the Maximo Asset Management Scheduler application, not just the scheduling tool that supports all of those roles. In our scenarios today, you'll see how some of the applications are used with the different roles based on really what the use case is. So I believe we have a poll question next.
We do. So I think we'd just like to know, you know, does your organization currently utilize some type of GIS? And again, we'll just give it a couple of seconds. Got some good responses coming in. Great. Thanks for sharing that information with us. Looks like some of it are fully implemented as opposed to not at all. It's really encouraging. Thanks again for sharing, and Lacey, I'll pass it back over to you.
Great. Thanks, Todd. In our first scenario, it will be initiated by a customer complaint. The complaint could be something specific to their premise. Maybe their water meter is leaking, or maybe they just notice something is happening on their street, and they either call in or go to a portal, and they report that information to the utility. So from a Maximo perspective, a service request is initiated. It could be through integration through the CIS. It could, again, be integration through the portal. It could be that someone comes into Maximo and enters this from within the utility. The map position of the service request could actually be determined based on that customer premise location, or potentially if the particular service request was written with a service address, which is something that was new, added to Maximo in previous version. Or it could come from the meter asset. Once that map positioning is determined, a feature could actually automatically be created for the service request. That way, if I'm looking at it from a GIS perspective as well, I have a feature for that service request. Or if I'm coming in later and I'm trying to do some analysis and I'm looking at the map and I want to view all service requests for a meter that was leaking within a certain subdivision, maybe there was something going on with that construction, I could go ahead and search based on service request features and use the different tools, which we'll talk about, to search for that. By having that geospatial context, though, of this particular service request, I can not only visualize on the map where that request was located, like you can see in the screenshot, I have that asterisk there where it's pointing, but I can also view the nearby features. The nearby features could be things like other service requests or work orders, like we discussed. Maybe I start to see a pattern that there's been a lot of these similar requests in the area, but it could also be the infrastructure, the other assets or locations that are in the area. You can see the service lines and the water mains and the hydrant. And potentially I could identify that there's a different root cause to this problem. Maybe I see that there is a nearby work order for the water main. So from this service request being initiated, the next step in Maximo could be that a work order was created from the service request. And because the service request already has a geospatial context, which it inherited from the customer premise in my scenario, the work order is also going to inherit that particular geospatial context. In the same logic, it could get its map feature automatically created. And then from the map view, again, I can see I have that asterisk where the work is located. And now by knowing the positioning of this work order, later on in the process, when I'm trying to optimize the assignment of these work orders to my meter technicians, I can go ahead and use the location as part of that criteria, and I can do things like minimize drive time. So following the normal Maximo process, this work order would be planned if there were certain steps that needed to be completed to troubleshoot this, or potentially there's certain tools or materials the technician needs to take out. That would happen in Maximo prior to the next step. I'm also going to give a plug for Scheduler Plus. We'll look at a slide about it at the end, but being that it's customer-initiated work, it may very well be that I need to book an appointment with the customer before I can come out to that customer's house and take a look at the problem. And that is a new feature that's in our roadmap for Scheduler Plus, which we'll talk about. So we'll say once the appointment is booked, there's an appointment window when I've told the customer I'm going to be at their location. The dispatcher may pass this on to the supervisor, and the supervisor is going to utilize the graphical assignment application. And within the graphical assignment, the supervisor can view all of the assignments that need to be made, but also the supervisor can view the different technicians that the assignments can be made to. And if you look at this particular screenshot, this is a drag and drop application, and I have my different crafts. So it might be a meter technician or electrician, or we'll talk about crews later. And based on the required craft for that type of work, I have an assignment in the column. And all the supervisor needs to do is simply grab that task and drop it into the column of the named individual. And I have some color coding. As soon as I click on that task, all of the individuals who meet the requirements to complete that task are going to be highlighted. I can have multiple levels of highlighting as well. I can have the folks that best meet that particular requirement, and I can have folks that might be multi-skilled so they could do that work, so they're highlighted in a different color because they're a second alternative. Or maybe the folks have a higher skill level and the particular requirement requires a lower skill level. The higher skill level could still do that work, but it might be that I don't want to assign it to the, you know, the journeyman versus the apprentice because of that. I don't want to overpay for that work being done. There's a lot of other advanced things that can be done in this application as well while the supervisor is managing passing out the assignment. The supervisor can modify or manage the availability of individuals or groups of individuals. Maybe a certain service center is having a safety meeting and the supervisor wants to come in and click all of those individuals using the quick filter and open up the modify availability box and just indicate that next Tuesday they're in a safety meeting, so they're not available to do work that day. And visually, within this application, you can see there's this dark blue that indicates that these particular folks are not available for assignment. So all I would do then as a supervisor, if they were already assigned work, is I would just highlight it all, drawing a box around it, and I would drag it back into the general column, or I would assign it to somebody else, pardon me, the general role, or I would assign it to somebody else by dropping it into their row. Very easy drag and drop functionality. I can also add, if the person's going to work overtime, add that as additional time, which shows up as additional white space. So you can see for each individual, if I follow their row across, gray not working, blue is modified availability or time off, and then the white is when I can assign work. So really easily visualized. If they're double booked in the day, really easy to see, it will turn yellow. So another good visual indicator. Now, once the work is assigned to an individual, the supervisor can lock that, meaning that it can't be slid from that time frame. And then they can do things like take action. And they might want to enter some notes. Maybe there's a dog on the premise, or maybe they want to remind the technician to make sure they grab a certain tool to do this type of work. So through a quick select action here, or a click, I should say, I have all of these different options. And the one I highlighted here was view notes. But do notice I can do things like move to certain days, or I could split work. Perhaps some type of work was planned for 4 hours for one electrician, but two electricians can do it. I could go ahead and split that and manage multiple assignments. So it's really a one-stop shop, drag-and-drop application that allows the supervisor to manage the actual work and pass out those assignments. So once the work is assigned, those individuals will use the EveryPlace template that I talked about earlier that's pre-configured. And from that, if they have connectivity on their tablet, they can pull it up, log in. They'll see all of the work that's assigned to them. So not only that, they can have from a map view a geospatial context of where that work is. And right from within that map view, I can do things as a technician, like say, show me the driving directions. Show me unassigned work nearby. Maybe I completed my work for the day and I want to see if anything else is in the area. And that's something that I have the authority to do. So I use this quick icon and say, show me other things nearby. And then I might just verify that I can do that work and take that in as well. Or maybe I want to see where the other nearby laborers are, my peers, and see if it's better suited for them to complete that work. I can do that all right from within that view in the EveryPlace template. I also, what's not pictured here, but I can also see an aggregate of all the materials and all the tools that I need to do to complete my work for the day. So before I leave the service center, I'm going to grab all those materials from the storeroom. I'm going to grab all of those tools. I'm going to load my truck and make sure I have all of that out there. Now, once I start the work, there's things like an easy start and stop timer that can progress the status of work to in progress, complete the work, capture my labor hours. I can enter tool transactions, material transactions. I could capture notes about the work. I could take meter readings. I could enter failure codes, all from within this mobile-friendly application that is included with Scheduler. So once the technicians are out there and they're progressing their work from the day, the dispatcher can use that same graphical assignment application that the supervisor was using earlier, but from the dispatcher's perspective, I have this map view that I can view where all of the work is for my labor and crews for the day, and I can use these different tools within this toolbar to do things like understand the work based on work order status. I might want to see how much of the work for the day is already completed, so I change the symbology to show status. And then I can look at that. Or maybe I want to understand the type of work being done for the day, and I change the symbology to work type. I could do things like show me the unassigned work orders that are here. By clicking a quick icon right on the map, it will plot where those unassigned work orders are. I could click the other quick toolbar icon and say, show me all of the nearby labor and crews that are on this shift. And based on the technicians using that EveryPlace template and sending back their location to Maximo, the dispatcher can see who is where and when's the last time they sent that update. If it was several hours ago, it may not be reliable for me to unassign the, or to assign the unassigned work to them. Or if it was just 10 minutes ago, it might make sense. So within this application, the dispatcher can also monitor all of these progress. So that was my first use case. Again, it was more customer-initiated work. Just to a quick recap, the customer initiated the work. The work was planned after a work order was created. The work order was assigned to the laborers who were going to complete it within graphical assignment by the supervisor. The technicians used the EveryPlace template, which had a map that they could see where all of their work was, see driving directions. They completed out the work, and the dispatcher was able to monitor the completion of the work using the graphical assignment application as well. So both of those, all of those roles leveraged both the spatial map to see where the work was, but also the scheduler application to assign, to complete, and to monitor the progress of the work. Our next scenario here, we'll use a few different applications. But it's still going to be using spatial, it's still going to be using scheduler, and you can see how based on the role you'll use these tools in different ways. So in this case, we're going to start in the assets application, and there could be a lot of different use cases for this. I just chose that there was a road widening initiative, all of the overhead infrastructure must be moved over because they're going to add a third lane. Right from within the assets application, the planner could come in. They could do things like use the selection tool to highlight an area on the map to see all of the assets within that area. They could use the query by attribution tool, and they could draw a polygon, and then they could query within that polygon to only find a subset of, in this case, the assets that they're looking for. They can view attribution about those assets. They could view work history. And most importantly, in this scenario, I can take all of those assets I've identified as being affected, and I could, from a quick select action in this application, create my work package. I could create one work order for each. I could create a work order with multiple entries in the multi-asset table. I could create a work package which has a master work order and then one work order for each. Or I could create a service request, and it really is just from one quick select action within this application. And from there, that work package can be sent to, in this case, perhaps the designer to design the change and then progress down the path. And there's a lot of different use cases of how this particular scenario could be initiated. Back to in Florida on the Gulf Coast, this is a perfect example right now. The hurricane's going to hit, and you may have some weather data that you're overlaying, and I can see where that storm surge is going to be, and I use my polygon to draw around that storm surge and identify the asset. And then I'm going to create a work package. That way I can go and do my mitigation plan of how I'm going to, you know, reduce and have the least amount of damage based on that hurricane coming in. So all within the assets application, I can use this map, and I can identify based on a spatial context the assets of interest. Now, if you don't have spatial and you don't have the map tab, right, I might have my GIS folks just provide me a list of assets using the map there, and then I might come to the list tab and just do more of a tabular search. So it really adds a lot of value having the map right in the hands of the EAM folks. So I did skip past this step here, and I just want to give a plug for that webinar. Again, that's at the end of September, the compatible unit estimating. If in this particular case the work order needs to go through a design, the next step very may well be to use the compatible unit estimating. So be sure to join for the webinar at the end of the month to get details about how that particular functionality works. So after the work is designed, the work can be scheduled in the graphical scheduling application. This wasn't an application that we looked at in the previous example because it wasn't an application based on that use case that necessarily made sense. Within the graphical scheduling application, I can pull in a scope of work orders, and I can do things like look at resource load and availability, like you're seeing down here in the bottom right quadrant. I can do things like look at other resource availability. Assets and locations can have maintenance and operational windows, and I want to make sure that I'm only scheduling work during the maintenance windows. I might need specific items and tools or materials and tools, I could say, to do this particular work, and I can't schedule the work to be done if the storeroom's not going to have the particular items that I need. Right from within a click in a dialogue, I can see all of the other resource availability, and I can take that into consideration when I'm scheduling the dates to do that work. I can have date constraint windows, so start no earlier than, finish no later than. That will really play into the customer appointment booking, the windows when I said that I was going to be there. But it also could be regulatory-related work, or if this was construction work to the DOT, I might have committed to them that I'm going to get all of this work done within a month. And so that might be my date constraint window I need to make sure I adhere to. And you can see right here visually in the Gantt view, I have this thin and thicker red bar. For a particular work order I'm clicking on, it could be the parent, it could be just a work order that doesn't have a work order hierarchy, but it will show what that date constraint window is. And if I break that window, meaning I move work outside of it, the work order will turn red and visually tell me I'm not adhering to my date constraint windows. I can also have task dependencies. So if I have a project, just like I do here, there's multiple things that need to be done to move the infrastructure. I can have dependencies between those child work orders or tasks, and they can be any of the types that you would expect, you know, start to finish. I can have lead and lag time between. If I need to allow some time for something to dry before I can move on to the next step, I can put that lag time there. And I can do things like run critical path methodology. I can run it on the whole scope of work. I can run it on individual work order groups. And also within the map, I could just quickly highlight a group of work orders and click a quick icon now and go ahead and have those dependencies created. I also want to point out to anybody that has not seen Scheduler recently, we no longer use Java applets. There's a new JavaScript technology, and that's what you're looking at in this photo. And it allowed us to do a lot of enhancements like undo and redo buttons and being able to quickly create dependencies from the map, advanced filtering. So a lot of new functions here. So if you haven't looked at it recently, I highly encourage it. So once I go ahead and, as the scheduler, schedule the dates of when this work is going to be done, the next step here is that graphical assignment application. I'm going to highlight it a little bit different than I did in my previous scenario. It still used the same, easy drag and drop. But in this case, I'm assigning work to crews. So I have an overhead line crew that might have three folks that work on it, and they might need a bucket truck. Well, within Maxima, we have crew management functionality. I can define crew types, and then I can define individual crews, and I can manage the makeup of those crews. Who's assigned to each position? How long are they assigned? Is it specific date ranges? What bucket truck is being used in that crew? And what that allows you to do in your different roles in Maxima is, from a planning perspective, I can plan that I just need a crew type, like an overhead line crew, for, say, 4 hours. From an assignment perspective, I can see that I have a requirement for an overhead line crew, but then I can actually see my individual overhead line crews, and I can assign it out to those individual crews. And then from a crew foreman's perspective, I don't have to enter time for each individual in my crew. I can just enter time for my crew name, and it will automatically capture, based on who was in that crew that day, time for each person. So it's a full end-to-end crew management scenario here. And what you're looking at, again, in the graphical assignment is resources that need to be assigned here. It's an overhead line crew, but then I actually have overhead line crew 1, 2, 3, 4. And those are individual crews that I can assign to. So that's what you're seeing, and that's the difference. So once that work is assigned to the crew, then same thing. They could use the EveryPlace template to manage that work. If they don't have connectivity, we do have Maximo Anywhere that supports Esri online and offline maps as well. Work could be completed out there. But before I get there, I want to talk just quickly about optimization. I did give a plug for that at the beginning when I went over what is Maximo Scheduler at a high level. So here's an actual screenshot of optimization from the graphical assignment application. And in this case, the work is all distributed at different locations. And I don't want to have my crews driving back and forth where it doesn't make sense. I really want to minimize travel time. But we don't really call this just route optimization because there are some objectives that can be specified to be passed over to the optimization engine that can be taken into consideration. And just to point out a few, definitely minimize travel time. And I know travel time, again, because these particular work orders have a geospatial context because they're linked with features from the GIS, right? Just to minimize task interruptions, meaning if there's work that I can do that takes 6 hours, don't assign it to me in the last 2 hours of my shift. Complete highest priority work first, and some other objectives. And I can also do things like include travel time and total time. If they're going to work 8 hours for the day and it takes 20 minutes to drive between jobs, then include that in their 8 hours a day. Give them a travel time buffer. They might need to go back to their vehicle and open up the tablet and report some actuals before they drive to the next job. So give them an extra 5% time or 10% or whatever makes sense in there. And then that optimization will run and it will adjust an optimized solution. All of the assignments will be made. The supervisor, dispatcher, whoever's particular role that is, can go ahead and review it, can make tweaks, and then choose to say, yep, that's my assignment, and push that back. So if work is assigned out day of, week of, as a crew foreman or potentially the dispatcher, based on whose role this is, the supervisor, they want to make sure they have complete crews for the day. Yep, I've assigned the work to overhead line crew 3, but are all of the folks that are in that crew in the office today, or are they in meetings? Is the bucket truck in the shop? Right from within this crew management application, I can manage that daily shuffle of the crews. I can see color-coded green, yellow, and orange if the crew is complete or not. So overhead line crew 1 and 2 looks good, but overhead line crew 3 is orange. Well, if I expand there and I can see why, oh, it's because the bucket truck doesn't have an assignment. So I could just quickly come over to this assignments tab, assign the bucket truck, and move on. Line crew 4 is yellow. Let me expand that. Oh, it's because I only need an apprentice, but I have a journeyman assigned there, and that doesn't make sense because I'm overpaying the hourly rate on that crew based on the requirements. So maybe I want to fix that. So this is another application that comes within Scheduler and can be used in the process. So we have another poll, and then I'll tell you a little bit about Scheduler Plus, and I'll turn it back over to Mike.
Yeah, so this will be our last poll. If you just take a few minutes and let us know what scheduling tool your organization currently uses, that would be great. Give it an extra second or two. Let's see what the results look like. So Maximo, Primavera, and a fair amount of other again. Kind of interesting. Thanks for sharing that information with us. And Lacey, if you want to share a little bit about Scheduler Plus, I'm looking forward to hearing that content.
Yeah, absolutely. So Scheduler Plus is the newest solution that's going to come in the future, and it's sitting on top of Scheduler. Do notice I have to point out at the bottom there is this disclaimer, and it's just saying don't make purchasing decisions based on future roadmaps, and I have to put it in there for legal reasons. The Scheduler Plus in the roadmap, you'll see that the first release is coming in October of this year, so very soon. And I'm really excited for some of the advanced functionality that specifically can apply to T&D. And in my first scenario, being that it was customer-initiated work, one of the pieces of functionality that's being included is appointment scheduling. There's actually going to be an admin application for managing appointment windows. You know, what do your time slots look like? How many appointments can be made? Are there exceptions? And from there, your customer service rep, your dispatcher, whoever's role that is to make appointments, can use this appointment management application, a single, easy, one-page application, enter where the location is, see if the work order is already existing, If not, go ahead and create the work order with all of the right information and select the appointment window. If customers call in and need to reschedule, same thing, they can enter that the customer premise location in, see the work, see when the appointment is, and do a quick reschedule. And that will all just build on top of everything that's already there for the work order. It's just an additional application that's giving you a view into those appointment windows. So something I'm really excited about. Some other things with Scheduler Plus, weather integration. So we recently purchased the weather data, and IBM is now trying to find the best value of where that can be used. And one of the things that adds a lot of value is within T&D, since the weather can really change the work that's being done. I'm going to go back to the hurricane again that's happening in Florida, and that's the weather data that can be incorporated in the planning and scheduling and dispatching process. Also managing large projects. This might come more into play for generation, but we're going to have advanced dependencies that can branch across work orders that aren't related, backwards path, percent complete. Take a sip of water. And then there's going to be some dynamic dispatching functionality as well. So auto refreshing, reoptimization based on real-time progress. It'll incorporate some weather data, traffic conditions. And this is all going to be with Scheduler Plus. So, again, if you're at the user group, stop by the demo room, attend the Scheduler sessions, and feel free to ask us questions as well after this webinar. So, Ted and Mike, I'll open it back up to you for questions.
Great. Thanks so much, Lacey. That was really good content, very interesting. I do have a couple of questions. How is Matchel Scheduler installed?
So if you are using Maximo 7.5 or higher, it's actually already installed. All you need to do is have a license key to unlock the functionality. We're having a lot of our customers that are just starting with one license just to unlock Scheduler, start to use some of their data and try different scenarios. Since there really is no installation process with 7.5 or higher, it's really easy to get up and running. With that said, if you do plan to leverage the optimization, there is a separate DOC server for that will be installed, but that's a run or sprint after you walk. So you could really easily get up and started with just a license.
Excellent. Thank you. I have a follow-up question on that from your experience about how long does it take to set up Scheduler, as you put it, take that first step?
Sure. So there's some data that gets used behind the scenes for Scheduler, and I encourage everybody to go out and look at the Maximo Scheduler Wiki. If you go to Google and just Google that, it'll be the first thing that you find. But it's things like calendars and shifts, right? I need to know the working days and working times, the plans on my work order. What are my labor requirements, right? I need that for resource load versus availability. And then actually having my labor records in Maximo with calendars and shifts so I have my availability. And so that's just some of the data that needs to be set up in advance and that you need to have a good handle on to be able to successfully schedule and assign work. And that's really the bulk of it. So there is a best practices for scheduling data article out in that Scheduler Wiki, and that will really give you all of that information that you can begin to look at.
Excellent. Thanks so much. I have one more question. How is data synchronized between GIS and Maximo?
Yeah, sure. That's actually a really exciting question because we just released Spatial 7.6. And within Spatial 7.6, there's a cron that delivers bidirectional data flow, and it's configurable and conditional. And there's also a new JSON mapping application that allows an admin to go in, and they can map attributes between the different layers in GIS with the assets or locations in Maximo or service addresses. For example, you have a transformer asset, and if they originate in GIS, and you want to automatically have the assets create in Maximo, what's the mapping between attributes? For example, what do you want to set the site ID as? You might want to fix it to a certain site ID, or maybe you want the description to have a fixed prefix plus one of the attributes from GIS. So all that mapping can now be maintained within an application, and that cron will push data back and forth.
Very good. Thanks so much. I've got time for maybe one more question. Mike, do you want to do a quick wrap-up before we thank everybody and let them get on with their day?
Certainly. Thank you, Ted, and also thank you, Lacey. What a nice job you did in presenting you make a complex topic seem very simple, relatively simple. Going back to my MRO days, and this is going way back, I remember when spatial was just an idea that we were pressing for to that we needed in the utility space and then in other markets as well. And I remember when it was an idea that came to fruition and to see where spatial is now and the power of spatial and some of the things you just didn't even have a chance to cover due to the time constraints. It's a powerful application. Then you add to it scheduler. That was something. Once we got spatial, then we wanted scheduler. And to see where it is now, it's gone beyond what we were even asking for back then, or I think some of the things we had even thought about. So, again, it's a testimonial, this presentation here. Anybody that's got a long view of Maximo, and it's a testimonial to when you invest in Maximo, you're really investing in not only what it does today, but a pretty powerful roadmap. So for the folks that are on Maximo, I'm sure that you already know that, where you're already seeing areas that you can expand into. And for those folks that are attending that are considering Maximo, this is a great testimonial of that. So, again, thank you for taking time to join us on this call today, Lacey. One last thing that I do want to promote, and that is the Maximo Utility Working Group Conference. That's the MUG, MUWG.org. If you've never attended that, there's one coming up in Atlanta, the 12th through the 14th. That's a week and a half from now. And if you've never been, I encourage you to join that and participate. It's one of the real values of being a Maximo client. It's a very heavily attended event where there's a lot of use cases and lessons learned shared with peers. So if you can't make this one, then the one that will be 6 months from now in the spring, I encourage you to participate when you can. Ted, I'll turn it back over to you.
Great. Thanks, Mike. Thanks, Lacey. We will send out a copy of the presentation as well as a link to the recorded version. And as Mike said, the entire series will be posted to the Cohesive Solutions website in the near future. Thanks again, and have a great rest of your day.